These are rough times for coffee growers. International prices have been stuck near historic lows for 3 years now, and many growers are giving up. The presidents of the world's two largest producers, Brazil and Colombia, met recently to try to agree on a strategy to prop up prices. When they couldn't agree, prices fell even further. NPR's Martin Costi reports from Rio de Janeiro.
On a mountaintop in the interior of Rio de Janeiro state, farmer Paulo Tassinari inspects his coffee trees for little green flower buds. The buds are a good indicator of the size of his next crop.
This plant will produce a lot of coffee. Look, coffee.
It's still early in the Brazilian growing season, but the word is out that this might be the biggest crop ever. Tassinari says a bumper crop would be disastrous. Watching last year's beans being cleaned and bagged, Tassinari says worldwide oversupply means he hasn't been able to make a profit since 2000.
Next year, if we have a very bad price, okay, but if the next year also, I don't know if I will be here.
Tassinari's foreman, José Luiz, has worked in coffee since he was a boy. Things have been better, and I used to make more money, Luiz says, and he points out the failed coffee farms on the neighboring hillsides. The Brazilian Coffee Association estimates that this year alone, producers have ripped out 10% of the country's coffee trees in favor of profitable crops such as soybeans. Tassinari welcomes the news, which he sees as the market's way of eliminating what he calls the amateurs and speculators who rushed into coffee during the 1990s. But with coffee, there's no such thing as simple market forces. There are always political and criminal side effects, especially in Latin America, where illegal drug crops are often farmers' best economic alternative. Klaus Nieholm is the director of the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime in Bogota. He says there's growing concern about Colombia's coffee-growing region.
It's still one of the areas least affected by opium poppy and coca cultivation. But you find it there. And that's worry us, because if we go back a few years, you wouldn't hardly find a coca bush in that area.
Nieholm says the drug crops haven't yet penetrated too deeply into Colombia's coffee country, but he says that may change if coffee prices stay this low. And that would be bad news for one of rural Colombia's most peaceful regions.
When coca comes in, other people come in as well, guerrillas or paramilitary fighters who subsist on the coca, on taxing the coca.
Especially frustrating for the UN and the United States is the fact that they've spent millions in Latin America promoting coffee as an alternative to drug crops. These schemes were hatched during the coffee house boom of the 1990s, when gourmet coffee seemed like the answer for coca-growing peasant farmers in Peru and Bolivia. Back in Rio de Janeiro state, Paulo Tassinari still has faith in the coffee house revolution, but he wants to bring the revolution home.
It's very funny to say, Brazil is the greatest coffee producer in the world. Do they know how to prepare the coffee? No, they don't know.
Tassinari has opened a coffee school to teach his fellow Brazilians that they can do better than the acidic, watery brew that's usually served here. It's a sensitive point with Brazilians, but the efforts of coffee lovers like Tassinari are having an effect. A few gourmet coffee shops have started to pop up in the past few years, and overall coffee consumption is on the rise. In fact, the Brazilian Coffee Association now sees the internal market as the farmer's best hope. Martin Costi, NPR News, Rio de Janeiro.